Little jam shot fly ball, shallow into left field, coming in, and now it's going out. Vizquel over the shoulder with his back to the plate, a basket catch. And Anthony Gose and the other teammates with big smiles on their faces, they get to see a little bit of the wizardry from Omar Vizquel.
And listen to the standing ovation for him.
Now you hear it for Omar Vizquel, and the fans once again come to their feet, and rightly so. Omar Vizquel down to what is likely his last major league at bat.
Well, let's listen to this great ovation.
Here's a line drive center field base hit. Omar Vizquel is 1-for-3 on the night, and wouldn't that be absolutely fitting, a base hit in his final at bat.
Mike McCoy now is going to go out to play short so Omar Vizquel can come off the field, and we will just let the crowd tell you how they respond here to his night of nights. Retiring after 24 seasons, finishes with a base hit, gets hugs from his teammates, and the crowd starting to rise here at the Rogers Center. Lori congratulates Omar. They traded numbers tonight, and here he comes off the field.
How about that? A little collage montage of Omar Vizquel's final night in the major leagues. Vizquel, 1-for-3, makes that great over the head basket catch on the pop-up by Drew Butera in the seventh inning. And finishes up with a bang. Gets that single. His 2,877th hit of his major league career. And the last one. He sits 40th on the all-time hit list. And the Blue Jays wrap up their season with a 2-1 win over the Minnesota Twins. Brandon Morrow dominates. 8 innings of 3-hitter and all 3 hits to Ben Revere. He walked 2. He struck out 11. And with Casey Jansen having pitched 3 of the last 4 nights, it's Brandon Lyon who comes out of the bullpen to nail down the save. His first save as a Toronto Blue Jay. The Jays accomplished the 3 goals they set out to accomplish when this series began. They finished with a winning record at home at 41-40. They avoid 90 losses, and they finish out of the cellar in the American League East. Now, those are not exactly parade-worthy goals achieved by any means, but it's certainly better than having gotten swept in this final series of the season. This is the last time we're going to Blue Jays talk it up until 2013. So get to dialing, 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance 1-888-666-0590. We will be spearheading the playoff coverage across the network throughout the postseason. I will be on before and after every playoff game, and we will do some phone-ins after some of those games, but it kind of gets to be a little late a lot of the time. But this is our last chance to have a real honest-to-goodness Blue Jays talk. Before we get to your calls, let's take a look at what's gone on elsewhere around and about the major leagues of baseball. And there are really only a couple of big games, and the New York Yankees are going to win the American League East. The Yankees lead the Boston Red Sox 10-2 in the bottom of the seventh inning. Curtis Granderson just hit his second home run of the game, his 43rd of the season. Robinson Cano has homered twice and driven in 6. The Yankees are going to clinch, though, it appears, before their game is done, because the Baltimore Orioles are trailing the Tampa Bay Rays 4-0 as they play in the top of the ninth inning. Evan Longoria has hit 3 home runs after hitting 2 in game number 162 last year for the Tampa Bay Rays. This means that the Yankees finished with 95 wins once they beat the Red Sox, barring the huge comeback. And the Yankees will be the top seed in the American League. They will play the winner of the Baltimore-Texas wildcard game, which will take place in Texas on Friday night. Oakland and Detroit will play in the other American League Division Series. In the National League, the Washington Nationals beat Philadelphia 5-1 this afternoon to secure the top seed in the National League. Washington will play the winner of the St. Louis-Atlanta wildcard game that will take place in Atlanta on Friday afternoon or evening. It starts at 5 o'clock Eastern time. Cincinnati and San Francisco will play in the other National League Division Series. Let's get to your phone calls here on the final Blue Jays Talk of 2012. We go out to Winnipeg, listening on Sportsnet590.ca. We welcome Jeff to the program. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for calling. You're the leadoff man on the last show.
Yeah, I'm glad about it, too, because I feel like I might want to be one of the only blue sky scenario people you're going to talk to tonight.
Oh, I hope not.
I hope not either. I want to hear some good things because I have a lot of good things to say. Just first off, love what you're doing with the show. I think you did a really great job this year. I listen to you all the time. I don't always agree with you, but your passion for the game gets me fired up. And to be really honest, I think if we agreed on everything, I probably wouldn't listen as much as I do. So congratulations to you. I think you did a great season, and look forward to hearing you next year.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that a lot. And, yeah, it wouldn't be any fun if everybody agreed on everything all the time.
Exactly, exactly. So, you know, for me, I've been a Blue Jays fan since I was 5 years old. I saw a playoff game in Toronto in 93. I don't remember much of it other than it was really, really loud. But since then, I've been a huge fan. And, you know, there's a lot that went bad this year. But for me, and I'm way optimistic and you know, glass half full on this, but I think that the Blue Jays did a really bang-up job for all of the stuff that they dealt with over the season. I'm actually surprised it ended as well as it did, to be perfectly honest, because of how much went bad. And the house of cards came down this year, and with the injuries and just having to bring in new players who perhaps weren't ready or just weren't used to the pressure, and some of those players did fantastic, and others, you know, were never heard from again, so to speak. I think the Blue Jays did a really fantastic job, and of course, I got frustrated as well, too, like a bunch of people did, but these last three games have been great. Morrow pitching tonight, he was unreal. You know, just the atmosphere around the Blue Jays this year has been more than I've ever felt as a fan, and I think that in itself is something to kind of celebrate.
There are a lot of things I can't agree with you about. I appreciate the optimism and I appreciate the glass half fullness, Jeff. But I think that you're going to have a hard time selling anybody on the Blue Jays having done a fantastic job with anything this year. It could have been a lot worse. You're right. It also could have been a lot better, and it wasn't. And there's, you know, it's okay to. It's okay to sit there and say this was a terrible year because it was a terrible year.
Yeah, no, and it is okay to kind of, you know, just be frustrated because, I mean, as honest as I am, I was yelling at the TV a bunch of times as well, too, and some of the performance in the latter half of the year actually put my Toronto Blue Jays trip on hold just because I didn't want to go there and see a loss. But, and you know, I just try to be as optimistic as possible. Those guys are going through it a lot worse than I am as a fan. Yeah, you know, I do agree with you that it is okay to be mad at the team. Yeah, with all that went on, I think they did an admirable job. Let's say instead of a fantastic job, an admirable job.
I'll give you that it could have been a lot worse. But I appreciate the call, and I appreciate the enthusiasm and the optimism, and I really do believe that that there's no reason to pull the chute on this team as so many people have in saying, you know, this is awful, and they're 5 years away from being anything, and everything is terrible, and nothing, you know, nothing is good ever again in with the Blue Jays. And so I appreciate from that end of things. The enthusiasm and the excitement. We are going to, before we take another call, listen in on what John Farrell had to say, his final address of 2012.
Tonight's performance by Brandon, not surprising at all. Given the talent that he has, the way he prepares, I know he was looking forward to tonight, not just because of the way, and certainly not the way this season has ended, but the fact that it was his final start. He wanted to put an exclamation point on the way he came back, the way he's pitched when he's been healthy all year, and just an outstanding job on his part. A fitting night for Omar. Goes off after just an outstanding and very accomplished career. And overall, to finish out the season with a three-game sweep, we end on a positive note.
John, with Morrow, despite the two-month absence that he had, is he one of the biggest positives that the Blue Jays can take away from this season?
Without question. The way he went about spring training, his focal points being the refinement of his curveball and his changeup, he's done that. He's continued to evolve in a pitcher rather than a one-inning reliever that was converted to a starter. He's been able to lengthen out not only in-game outings, inning over inning, but his efficiency has continued to climb. And I think that's the direct result of the refinement of those off-speed pitches, where we've seen a lot of high pitch counts because of foul balls, a lot of strikeouts. But he is definitely a positive here this year.
John, was it your plan right from the start to take Omar out in the middle of the ninth like you did?
Yeah, that was scripted, for lack of a better way to describe it. It's another way to show an acknowledgement for an accomplished career, as I mentioned, and rightfully so.
John, Brendan mentioned during the offseason that he wanted to be less of a pleasant guy on the mound. I won't use the actual word that he used, but did you sense in him a different presence in terms that he took to the mound, and maybe was that reflected sometimes in the clubhouse too, in the way he carried himself?
I think everybody looks up to him. The way he goes about his work, he's diligent with his routine in between starts. His competitive nature on the mound speaks for itself. We've seen a number of occasions where he's really stepped on it in key moments when he needs a strikeout or two to end a threat. He's done that repeatedly. And like I said, that's all part of his evolution as a pitcher.
John, Miguel Cabrera has a chance to win the Triple Crown tonight. In all your years in baseball, where would this rank as an accomplishment? Obviously, it's huge. It hasn't been done since the 60s. But for you personally, how big is this?
It's not only a rare feat, but it's an extraordinary one, especially in today's game where on any given night he could face four different pitchers, as everyone in the league does. But his ability to combine not only high average but tremendous power and production clearly speaks for itself. He's not going to beat out a lot of infield hits. So when you look at that average, that's some kind of hitter. I know one thing. When we go up against the Tigers and have to plan around him, he is a main focal point, which I'm sure every team looks upon him that way, but probably the premier hitter in terms of combination and power. And just in closing, opening night or opening day, that which turned into night in Cleveland, 16 innings. I think I'd mentioned if this is a sign of the season, it's going to be a wild ride. I don't think anybody thought it would turn out to be the wild ride that it ended being, because of all the injuries that we faced and the different changes that took place, but appreciate everybody here.
That's a nice way to finish it for John Farrell, and that's the last we hear of the Blue Jays manager after a game this season. We will take more of your phone calls on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, where we will extend the Blue Jays talk all the way until 11 o'clock Eastern time, so stick with us either there or on sportsnet590.ca or Rogers Digital Cable Channel 904. We'll check the pennant races. The Yankees have clinched the AL East. Blue Jays beat the Twins 2-1. It is the Blue Jays Radio Network.
Strike two pitch. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. That slider has been his best friend here tonight. 11 strikeouts, a season high for Brandon.
Brandon Morrow finishes with a flourish. 8 innings pitch. Doesn't give up a hit to any Twin not named Ben Revere. Revere got 3. And gives up just 1 run that shouldn't have scored. Walks 2 and strikes out those 11 in his final start of the season. Goes 8 innings, throws 110 pitches. Brandon Lyon finishes up because Casey Jansen had worked 3 of the last 4 days. And the Blue Jays beat the Minnesota Twins 2-1. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the final Blue Jays talk of the season. So give us a call at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance 1-888-666-0590. And of course, this is not it for us. We will be doing wall-to-wall coverage of the Major League Baseball playoffs here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, starting Friday night when we will join the Atlanta-St. Louis wildcard game in progress at 7 o'clock after primetime sports, and then bring you the Baltimore-Texas wildcard game in its entirety. And I'm not a gambling man. But if I was, and I might be, but I'm not, but I might be, I would think the Baltimore is going to lose that game in extra innings. That's just me. Hearty mazel tov to Miguel Cabrera for winning the Triple Crown. First time since 1967, and I believe he will be the American League's most valuable player as a result of that Triple Crown, despite the fantastic year from Mike Trout with the Angels. But now let's get to your calls. We'll check in on the Blue Jays Clubhouse with Kayla Harris and Rob Wong a little bit later on. Right now we go to Russ in New Jersey, who's listening on his Sirius satellite radio. Russ, welcome to the Blue Jays Talk.
Thanks, Mike, and I just want to say, like the first caller, thanks very much for the whole year. Like he said, some people don't always agree with you, and you know, me being included, but I always like when a guy has an opinion. That's what makes sports fun. So thank you very much, and it was fun to watch you. You know, the day I got to see you running around and see how you get your job done sometimes. So thanks very much for this season.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Right. You know, before I get to the Blue Jays, what a crazy season. I'm saying, yeah, this Cabrera, then you have Baltimore, Oakland making the playoffs, but the Texas collapse is just unbelievable. Are they five games up and nine to go? And to lose the division, to lose the best record, you know, in the American League, you now have to play that one-game wild card. That's pretty crazy. I want to talk about the Jays, and I'm obviously, you know, going into the offseason, it's, you know, the starting pitching is where it all starts, and, you know, I know Alex said he would overpay for starting pitching, but I think you would agree there's going to be a lot of the big, heavy-hitting teams like the Red Sox, even I believe the Yankees, who are going to be looking to really upgrade their starting pitching, teams that can overpay more than the Blue Jays. And the question that I have for you is, do you look at the Blue Jays' rotation? There's only one guy that I really can count on for next year, and that's obviously Morrow. Villanueva obviously being the free agent. Romero, you don't know what you're going to get from him. I think it's a big year for Alex and Davis, but also to figure out how many starting pitchers does he need? And they don't grow on trees, but, you know, how many starting pitchers does he really need for the upcoming season? It's tough to get a good one, and with the rotation in such shambles like it is, I just was curious how you think he's going to go about it.
I think he's going to go about it on the trade route more than any other way. You're right that the Yankees and the Red Sox have the deep pockets, and if they want to overpay, they can overpay over what the Blue Jays can overpay for a starting pitcher on the free agent market. But the Blue Jays have the minor league depth to go out and get guys in trade, whoever they want. And the Yankees and the Red Sox aren't going to suck up everybody who's out there on the free agent market. So it's a good question. How many starting pitchers do they need? A lot of people think they need two. A lot of people think they need three. It's very difficult to pull in that many guys over the course of one off season. But you're absolutely right. And it's funny because Brandon Morrow is the guy who, this is his first strong season, and yet he's the guy who's the only one that people can depend on, even though Ricky Romero's had three seasons in his past that were better than anything that Brandon Morrow had done prior to this season. So you're right, we don't know what Romero's going to do. We don't know how he's going to come back next year. I expect him to be back and be fine. If you add two starters, like a number two and a number four, and then at the bottom of your rotation you have either Jay Happ or Henderson Alvarez, assuming that Carlos Villanueva doesn't come back, then I think you're okay.
Right.
But
what do you think happens with Escobar? And, you know, Echeverria, you know, the question was his bat, obviously. He still doesn't walk at all, but, you know, he showed he can hit a little bit. Obviously, his fielding is not a question. What do you think happens with Escobar, for next season? Because he's probably almost impossible to move. So just, you know, how does that situation play out? And what do you think they do for second base?
I don't think Escobar is impossible to move at all, but I don't think you'll get nearly as much for him now as you would have had you moved him last year or last winter? And Alex Anthopoulos isn't the kind of guy who tends to deal guys when they're at their bottom of their value. So I expect that we're likely to see Escobar back here unless he's as part of a package for a big trade that brings in some pitching. That's certainly possible. I don't know what they're going to do at second base. I really didn't like those two double play turns out of Adani Echevarria tonight, but I know he can handle it. I know he can handle shortstop as well. Marco Scudero, to me, wouldn't be a bad 1 or 2 year little fix at second base, but I think you can do better than that as well. Thanks, Russ. Appreciate the call. Appreciate that it's been all season long that you've been hanging out with us here on the Blue Jays Talk. We had double-barreled activity in the Blue Jays clubhouse because it's the final day. Kayla C. Harris, Robert J. Wong are both here, having been down. Was it all in the room, or was it in the interview room too?
John Farrell and Omar Vizquel was in the press conference room, and then Robbie went in to speak with Brandon Morrow.
That's Kayla, in case you're wondering which is which.
Kayla.
All right, so we heard what John Farrell had to say. I spoke to Omar before the game. We saw him with tears in his eyes coming out of the game, and tell me what Omar had to say after.
Well, I'm going to go through his last at-bat where he got the single. He said, you know, he didn't ask God for help in many of his major league at-bats, but he did. He wanted some help tonight. He said, can you do this for me? And he came out with a single, and he looked pretty happy. He had family in the stands to watch this, and he said to get that last standing ovation in the ninth inning was just an unbelievable way to end his career, and a very remarkable career at that. 11 gold gloves. I mean, he... 24 years in the majors, great way to end it, especially on a win, he said, too. The ball club won, and he got away with a hit.
Good for him. Did he say anything about the catch? The
basket catch? Oh, yeah, sorry. I missed that, yes. And he said coming away with the basket catch. So, yeah, he seemed pretty happy. He even gave the media some Venezuelan food, which is not too often athletes are giving the media food.
No,
so it was pretty interesting.
South American grub, always awesome. Rob Wong, Brandon Morrow had to be thrilled with his night.
Yeah, he definitely was. And, you know, he just talked about the aggression that he showed this year. And, you know, Shai Davidi had asked him.
Shai didn't say the word. And I had totally forgotten that Brandon Morrow said that in spring training. I remember standing in front of his locker and he said, I'm going to be more of an a-hole on the mound this year. But he didn't use quite that term. And he did that today.
Yeah, and he also mentioned, I mean, just the refinement of his off-speed pitches this year with the curveball and the split change as well. I mean, really just took his game to another level. And, you know, this really was the year that Brandon Morrow's been hoping for ever since he's become a starter. It's been a steady progression up until this year. And, you know, John Farrell, you played it. He also mentioned Brandon's a guy that, you know, guys look up to in the clubhouse. Brandon said he's more of a lead-by-example than a vocal guy in the clubhouse. But it's kind of hard to believe, you know, Brandon Morrow, you know, his first year with the Blue Jays, that April, he was awful. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to believe where he's come to now. And obviously, Alex Anthopoulos, Brandon Morrow, the team's got to be thrilled to see where he is at this point.
And I think at this point, you have to think that Brandon Morrow not only made the start tonight, he's going to be making the next start for the Blue Jays.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and that's going to be something well-earned. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you. You've done fine service for us all year long and very little recognition. So, you know, you send in the tape, nobody talks about you. And the two of you combined out of the 81 home games probably did close to 70 of them. So,
well, thank you, Mike. How are you feeling last game of the season?
I'm a little sad.
A little sad.
Why, how can you not be? You know, it's over. I want to see more baseball.
Well, you got playoffs. Yeah,
but it's not the same as being at the ballpark. You know, this is the last time. And who knows what's going to happen over the winter, what roads people will take, who gets hit by a bus or whatever. This could be the last time, you know, that I'm in here. It's always, the last game of the season's always kind of melancholy a little bit.
Well, we should take a group photo then whenever you wrap up here.
All right, when we throw it a break, we'll have a big group hug, and then we'll do a picture and everything. Thank you, Intrepid reporters, Kayla Harris and Rob Wong. A wonderful job all
Thanks,
season
Mike.
Long.
Thanks, Mike.
We love you dearly. We also love our phone callers at 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. And we go to Tony in London. Hello, Tony.
I have to commend you on doing a terrific job, as usual, through an unbelievable, impossible season with the the spate of injuries that hit the Jays, especially in since July 28th when the position players went down after losing the starting rotation in mid June, and it's not an excuse. It's not being an apologist, but it's a fact. And you look at the lineup that finished up September. You had a lot of people missing, even in the last series with Encarnacion. And despite all that, you know, an odd little number. I guess that you can fiddle the numbers any way you want. But the fact is, the Jays, you take away the Tampa Bay series, 4-14, and against the rest of the major leagues, this season the Blue Jays were 69-75, which is close to competitive, despite everything.
Still not good.
Not good, but still, despite everything, it goes to a testament to what they were able to do to pull people like Villanueva and Laffy out of the bullpen, put them in the starting rotation, and for a while there, Hutchison was very impressive as he finished up, but of course he's gone for next year, as is Drabik and Luis Perez. And this has been the season that will be remembered primarily because of the spring training record that all winter long, all you heard was that while you didn't sign Darvish, you didn't sign Fielder, and there was a lot of doubt about this team, and then came spring training and 24-7 record, and hardly were any blowouts to get in any of those spring training games and losing, and that built up the enthusiasm, and it just and it stayed there for a while until again the injuries hit, and that just pretty well finished them for any kind of chance at competing for the wild card.
It did. And, you know, Tony, for every number you throw out, there's an alternative number that can be thrown out, right? So you take away the 4-14 against the Tampa Bay Rays, and you do have what you said, I think it was 69-75. But remember, too, the Jays went 14-4 against the Royals, Twins, and Phillies. So you take those out, and you have a team that's 59-85. So, I mean, I don't think you can kind of mess around with things like that. The year at it was just a terrible year in the overall, and there's no reason to think that this is the end of everything, and that they're 4 years away from ever being decent again, and any of that stuff. But it is. I mean, you're right. The middle of July, when Jose Bautista went down, I think it was July 16th, and then Brett Laurie fell 170 feet into the camera well 2 days later, and then everybody just started getting hurt in the starting lineup. That was what finished the team off. Losing three starting pitchers in four games mortally wounded them in the middle of June, but all those injuries finished him off. Thanks for the call, Tony. Appreciate it. Raptorized John is in Toronto. You're on the Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Yo, my man, how you doing? I know you're doing okay.
Thank you.
But, you know, another good year. You know, I love to hear listen to you argue. This year, but it's been a tough year, man. Anyway, my wish list is that Jose comes back and becomes the beast of the East again. And Ricky gets his head on straight or gets his heart straightened out so he can start locating his fastball again. We hope we get our closer that we originally signed back so we can have a 1-2 eighth and ninth inning people coming in to close other teams out. And hope Mr. Rasmussen, Corey, our center fielder, you know, starts playing up to his potential and help Britt Laurie mature a little faster. And that JP, you know, will keep on having the power, you know, that he's shown. And that we have our manager comes back so we keep the team stable, you know. And that what I wish for, and also my last wish is that Lady Luck comes and sits in our dugout this year, next year.
Is that who?
Lady Luck.
Oh, that would be swell. She hasn't been around here in a long time.
Yeah, I know, but we're due for a visit, Mike.
No kidding. That's a good wish list, John. I appreciate that a lot. Alex Anthopoulos said before the game that there is no doubt in his mind that John Farrell will be managing the Blue Jays next season. John Farrell, before the game, said he's under contract. There's nothing to discuss. When someone suggested to him how he's going to feel being a lame duck manager next year, his answer was, I've never been a duck before. So he's keeping a good sense of humor about it. Jose Bautista spoke to us before the game. And we may get a chance to play some of that for you as the show goes on. He says he's talked to about 20 people who have either had this surgery or performed the surgery, and he believes that there is a 99.9% chance that he will be back as the same hitter that he was before, that there will be no loss of power. This is not a broken hand. This was not a broken wrist. This was not a torn ligament or anything like that. He believes, no one should say pencil in Jose Bautista for 45 home runs next year, but he says that the recovery from this surgery, and Ricky Weeks can probably attest to that, that he'll be back as the same Jose Bautista that he's always been. And so that's a pretty big help, absolutely, for that. And as far as, you know, Ricky Weeks, we don't want to talk about Sam Fault because Sam Fault has no power at the best of times, but Ricky Weeks is a power hitter. And Ricky Weeks, in 2008, hit 14 home runs. The next year, he had the wrist problem, 2009, after hitting 9 homers in the first 37 games. Then he had to have the surgery, was out for the year, and hit 29 home runs the next season. Bautista also added that he feels like if the season had been extended, he would be ready to play 100% good to go by the beginning of November. Not that that means anything. But that's all good news that came from Jose Bautista today. I appreciate it, John. We will...
One more wish.
Real fast.
I have to hope that Edwin's performance wasn't just for the contact year, and that, you know, the next year he shows up again, you know, with the same stats.
Well, this isn't his first contract year. We can say that. And he also had a heck of a second half after he signed the extension. It would be great to have that 1-2 punch of Bautista and Encarnacion healthy and productive and hitting 90 to 100 home runs next year. Thanks for the call. More of your calls coming on the other side of Andrew Nye's update. It is the final Blue Jays talk of 2012 at 416-870-0590. *590 on the cell. Long distance, 1-888-666-0590. It is Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
And the 1-2 pitch, breaking ball, hammered left field, long, high drive. That ball is up, and there she goes. A 3-run home run for J.P. Arencibia, his first hit today. And the Blue Jays soar out in front, 7-4 here in Cleveland in the 16th inning.
Doesn't Jerry sound so much younger then? Opening day of 2012, and J.P. Arencibia, that three-run shot in the 16th inning in the freezing cold, gave the Blue Jays a 7-4 win. They won the opener, they won the finale, and in between, they went 71-89 on the season, and it's over. And this is the last Blue Jays talk. The Jays sweep the Minnesota Twins, a 2-1 win, a dominant performance from Brandon Morrow, an emotional night from Omar Vizquel. And we're taking your phone calls right up until 11 o'clock at 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. And just in case you can't get enough of me, because honestly, who can? I'll be back tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock with Shai Davidi and Greg Zahn. We'll be on a roundtable on the Jeff Blair Show for the first hour of Jeff's show tomorrow at 9 o'clock. So make sure you tune in for that one. Peter is in St. Catharines. Peter, welcome to the final Blue Jays talk of 2012.
Yes. Well, to quote Bob Hope, Mike, thanks for the memories.
Well, let's hope that it's not all just memories and we can build some more, but thank you very much, Peter.
Yes, I just want to say, and I do really want to say it, I'm certainly glad the Blue Jays ended the year on a winning note, and Morrow pitched a great game, and great to see the reception for Omar Vizquel. And I do want to thank you, Mr. Mike Wilner, for a great Blue Jays talk year this year in 2012. Obviously, the season was not the way we thought it would go, or we wanted it to go for the Blue Jays. But I do see I'm kind of like yourself. I'm a glass half full person, and I see all the positive. I saw a lot of positives out of this year, and a great year out of Edwin Encarnacion, and all these. Hopefully, Bautista will bounce. We'll be healthy next year, and Romero is going to bounce back next year, and Morrow Romero and Morrow will be the two pitchers. The one and two guys, hopefully next season. And I just can't say enough good things about you, Mike. You're one of the very best in baseball broadcasters there are, and I'm running out of things to say.
All right, well, thank you, Peter.
I'm really absolutely looking forward to your coverage of the postseason, and everyone go out there and vote for Tom as well. Thanks a lot, Mike.
Yes, thank you, Peter. Appreciate the kind words. It's nice. Everyone's being so nice to me on the last day of the season. Everyone's usually so mean to me. But thank you. Go vote for Tom Teague. There's not a lot of time left. The voting ends Friday, 5 o'clock Eastern time. So please, Facebook.com/Baseball Hall. Since you can only vote every 24 hours, you now only have two opportunities remaining. So I'm asking you to please just two votes. Two votes. We'll help Tom Cheek, hopefully, get into Cooperstown where he belongs. Al in Toronto, you're up next on the Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Hi, Mike. Hello. I hate to be a wet blanket, but, boy, all these guys coming on and saying great things that happened this year, the Blue Jays, I don't know. I mean, I think there was a lot more disappointments than great things that happened.
I agree with you. There was a ton of disappointment this year.
Yeah. I think, Morrow and Carcion, Casey Jansen. Obviously they had fantastic years. But God, other than that,
Darren Oliver.
Darren Oliver is right. Yeah,
Aaron Loop.
He was the other guy I was thinking. But other than that, I mean, I think the rest of them was not obviously the injuries hurt. But even the first 100 games where we didn't have any injuries. We never had more than a four-game winning streak.
The first 100 games, first of all,
right.
The closer pitched 5 innings this year. That's one. 3 starting pitchers went down in 4 days in the middle of June. So they were gone after the first 60 games. They had a ton of injuries over the course of those first 100 games. They just had more after.
Okay, so it was after the first 60 games that we lost Morrow. Is that what you're saying?
Morrow was the first one to go down,
right?
And he went down on June 11th, which was, in fact, the Blue Jays' 61st game of the season.
Okay. I just found it was kind of incredible. I don't think we had more than a 4-game winning streak the whole year.
I don't think they did either.
Which is, you can't, and, to make the playoffs this day and age, I think even for the second wild card spot, you need about, 90 wins, 92 wins.
This year, the second wild card in the American League has 93 wins.
Yeah. So it's pretty tough to get it if you don't go on those, win 10 of 12 or have a 6 or 8-game winning streak. And to have your longest winning streak, 4 games.
I hate to put it in those terms because I don't believe that that's true. I mean, if you win 5 out of every 9 games, you're going to have a 90-win season. And so I don't, you'd like to kind of bank some wins for the inevitable tough times that follow. But, Oakland had a 9-game losing streak this year, and they won their division.
Yeah, but didn't they get on a spell where they won like 14 of 16
or something? Oh, yeah, they went nuts for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. You do have to – I don't know if you have to go nuts at some point in order to make the playoffs. I mean, slow and steady can do it, but it certainly does help. But I can't break down this team and your biggest – your big complaint is that they didn't win more than 4 games.
No, I just said that I found that a bit unusual. I mean, that's sort of – They could never get on a run, but maybe, the fact that they lost more after the 60th game, maybe they just couldn't, then they started to lose other players. But my other question, just going back to starting pitching, I mean, who can we get out there? I mean, it's just starting pitching is going to be so tough to get. I mean, I guess we've got some people we can trade, but, I mean, would you trade? I wouldn't want to trade a guy like a Ghost or a Hechevarria, somebody like that,
Might have to. You might have to. And you hope you wouldn't have to because those guys look like they're going to be very, very, very good. But if you can get someone who is already very, very good instead of someone who just looks like he's probably going to wind up being very, very, very good, you should always get that established guy so long as, you've got him for a bit you know what you're getting. To the question of who can they get, they can get anybody. Anybody who's available, and they can even get some guys that we don't even know are available on the trade market. That's, you know, who'd have thought Adrian Gonzalez was going to be available in trade even 2 months ago? Even 2 months ago. I don't know that too many people thought last offseason that Matt Latos was going to be traded or Gio Gonzalez was going to be traded. These things happen. Guys come available, and it's incumbent upon Alex Anthopoulos to know who's coming available and to get in there and do what he has to do beyond getting thoroughly ripped off to get those available pitchers.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the most important things next year will be Ricky Romero, whether he comes back or not. Obviously, when he's one or number two, and that may be the key to the next year, really.
Well, he's not going to be number one or number two going into next year.
No, not the way he pitched it the latter half of the year, that's for sure.
No.
But if he does happen to bounce back, I mean, it certainly could make a big difference just, on the overall standings for the team next year, right?
Absolutely. And I firmly believe that there's as much reason to believe that Ricky Romero will bounce back as there is to believe that he'll have a similar crappy season next year.
All right, well, thanks, Mike. You do a great job, and I don't always agree with you, but you do a great job.
Thank you, Al. Appreciate that. And I don't want everybody to always agree with me. How much would it suck if, you know, everybody just called in and said, ditto? I don't get how people like that. And I don't think that anyone would be listening to me 11 years later. 11. This is the end of my 11th season here. If everybody always agreed with me all the time. Now, when you don't agree with me, you're wrong is the thing. But who wants to agree with somebody the whole time? Steve is in Phoenix City, Alabama, one of our favorites calling in on the last night. Welcome to the Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, my buddy. How you doing?
I am a little sad. A little sad, yeah, I got to tell you.
I know, man. I don't know what I'm going to do now. I'm going to be lost for the next 3 or 4 months. I don't have you to listen to every night.
You can still listen to me every night. You just got to listen on your internet.
The only way I can listen to you is on this XM radio.
You got to get the internet down there in Phoenix City.
Well, the thing about it is, Mike, I'm in a big truck, and they have a problem with me doing the internet thing in a big truck.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess.
Yeah. But, buddy, you've done a great job. You've made a fan out of me for the Blue Jays. And between you and Colby, that's the only reason I listen to y'all. One question, though. You think Colby's coming back next year, or they're going to get rid of him?
I don't think they're going to get rid of him. And, you know, like I said to the caller a while ago who was talking about trading Yunel Escobar, Alex Anthopoulos tends not to be in the habit of trading guys when they are at the bottom of their value unless, because if he thinks they're going to get worse, then they're not at the bottom of their value. And Colby Rasmus is coming off a season in which he did hit 23 home runs and drive in 75 runs, and that used to mean something, and it may still mean something to some GMs out there. But he's also coming off a year where he had a .289 on-base percentage, struck out 149 times in 151 games, and had some of the worst-looking slumps that a player can go through. So you're not even remotely close to selling Colby Rasmus at his value. Now, if there's someone who likes him and is willing to pay or needs him for the Blue Jays to make a deal that they need to make, then sure, they'll trade him and they'll put Anthony Gose in center field next year. But I believe that they realize they haven't seen even remotely close to the best of Colby Rasmus, and they would like to see that happen in a Blue Jays uniform.
I agree with that 100%. And I tell you what I'm going to do, Mike. I'm going to order me a Blue Jay hat.
Nice.
Now, the thing about it is, see, I've got some St. Louis hats that I ordered a couple years ago, and you know how that story ended.
Uh-huh.
So if I order me a couple of these Blue Jay hats, now, you're going to guarantee them. And if something bad goes wrong, I'm going to send them to you.
All right. You order your Blue Jay hat. And if Colby Rasmus is not a Blue Jay, next season you send him to me, and I'll send you a whoever hat that he goes to.
No, you ain't got to send me nothing back.
Oh, okay,
brother.
Even better.
Well, look, I appreciate y'all, and I want everybody to have a good holiday season this year and come back next year to a winning Blue Jay team.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it. It's been great having you as part of the Blue Jays talk this season. And you know what? We're getting a lot of the regulars tonight, and I like that. It's the last night. We're wistful. I'm kind of melancholy. But it's been a nice little Blue Jays talk. The Yankees just finished off the Red Sox 14-2, but they had clinched earlier in the hour when Baltimore fell 4-1 to the Texas Rangers. And how about Dan Johnson? Remember Dan Johnson? Dan Johnson hit that home run in the ninth inning last year on day 162 with two out that sent the Rays to extra innings in their last game of the season. Set the stage for Evan Longoria's home run against the Yankees. And Dan Johnson's a Chicago White Sox now, and he hit three home runs tonight. And Evan Longoria, who hit two home runs last year in game 162, hit three home runs tonight too. So these Rays and X-Rays certainly love the last night of the season. We will be providing wall-to-wall playoff coverage for you on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. It begins Friday night. We will join St. Louis and Atlanta in progress at 7 o'clock, and then give you the entire Baltimore-Texas wildcard game. First pitch for that scheduled at 8:37, and I'll be hosting our playoff coverage over the course of the entire postseason all the way to the World Series, so make sure you stick with me. We continue on the Blue Jays talk with Daryl in Toronto. Daryl, welcome aboard.
Good evening, Michael.
Good evening, sir.
Another winning record at home, another successful season for my team.
Really, that's all you need?
Michael, I only go to home games. Yeah, sorry. Anyway, I kid.
Yeah, thank
but,
you.
I'm
wondering now that you've made me think, what's their record with me in the building? Because I went to 10 road games, I think, this year. I'm going to have to look that up while you talk.
Yeah.
Talk, Daryl.
Okay. An observation, but I need an answer for a clarification on this. So
sure.
I heard you earlier. You've had this gig 11 years?
Yeah.
Needless
this is my the
say,
end of my 11th season, yes.
On and off, in and out, you've been viciously accused of being an apologist and a homer for this team and organization, it seems to me, as an observation.
The last couple of years, yes.
Have you ever in 11 years actually predicted before the season started this team was going to make the playoffs? I don't think you
I
have.
I think I did once.
Did you? Yeah.
I think it was 07 or 08. I can't remember which. But I
so
did
once.
Once
in 11 years.
Yes.
You're some apologist and homer, Michael.
That's very interesting, actually. I never thought about it
Not
that
so
way.
Not so much, actually.
This is true. It's a good
anyway,
point.
Anyway, have a good season. Or enjoy the playoff season. We'll be listening in. And I just... wanted to throw in that.
I appreciate it. I really do, actually. That's pretty funny. So thank you. Thank you very much for the call, Daryl. And I looked it up, and on the road trips I went on with Tom Young and Jerry Howarth, when Alan Ashby was working in the television booth, the Blue Jays were 4-5 through Minnesota, Oakland, and Milwaukee, those 9 games I did, which means that with me in attendance, the Blue Jays were 45-45 this season. When I'm not around, they were 28-42. Now, if that's not a reason to send me on the road full-time next year, I don't know what is. We will take more of your phone calls after Andrew Nye's update. And while Andrew is updating you, I know many of you these days, 21st century people, can multitask. So if you haven't yet, cast a vote for Tom Cheek for the Ford C. Frick Award. Please go do it right now while Andrew Nye, it'll take you, it won't even take you as long as Andrew Nye's sports update. Facebook.com/baseball hall. You like the page. You click on 13 Frick voting. You vote for Tom. He's right there on the first page. Only 2 more chances to do it, so please take advantage of both those chances and let's send Tom Cheek to Cooperstown. It is the Blue Jays talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
And the 1-1 offering. Hit on the ground out to second. Taken by McCoy to throw to first. Ball game. The Blue Jays win it 2-1. Omar Vizquel with a base hit in his last at-bat. Brandon Morrow, a 10-game winner. So just the 79 team without a 10-game winner in the history of the Blue Jays franchise. And a sweet win indeed for the Blue Jays. They finished 41-40 at home.
And avoid 90 losses. Finish fourth in the American League East, four games ahead of the Boston Red Sox. The Blue Jays at 73-89 this season. And a terrible year comes to its merciful conclusion, at least on a happy note, as the Blue Jays sweep the Twins and wind up winning 7 of their last 10, splitting with the Yankees and the Orioles before finishing off with this sweep of the Twins. I'm Mike Wilner, and this is our final segment of the Blue Jays Talk for 2012. And we go back to the phones. Thomas is in Toronto. Thomas, welcome to the finale.
Thanks, Mike. To the last caller, I had a question for you. Have you ever said that the Blue Jays are not going to make the playoffs?
Yeah, every year except the one I said they did.
Oh, okay. Maybe I wasn't listening. But in any event, I want to ask you a question, Mike. With all the statistics that Blue Jays have thrown out over the past few years, much like, example, Bautista being one of the best hitters in the majors, Roy Halladay being the best pitcher, Toronto having the best pitching staff, as you like to quote, for me, an irrelevant stat about runs scored in the first how many games, I guess it was in June. When are we going to have those stats translate to something significant so that we can have a real celebration instead of celebrating the fact that we're 500 at home? Now, my second question is this.
These don't sound like questions. You're yelling at me, and I don't know why you're upset with me, Thomas.
Well,
and it's kind of a common thread for you over the course of this season.
Personally, Mike, I'm on my hands free, so I'm talking a little bit louder.
Okay.
Secondly, if we as a team, the Blue Jays, have been ravaged by injuries this year, okay, how is it that next year is going to be promising?
Expect that next year they won't be ravaged by injuries. This is a pretty rare thing that's happened. And, you know, if you talk to pretty much anybody who makes their living in baseball, whether it's on the field or off the field, you'll note that pretty much everyone, almost 100% of people, have said that they have never seen anything like what happened to the Blue Jays this year ever before. So there's no reason to believe that it should happen again.
And finally,
yeah.
Given my first question for you, as you thought I was yelling at you, which
yeah,
I
and I'll not. Answer that. And for me, I mean, you're right in that it's much, much better to celebrate a playoff berth or a World Series championship than to celebrate the fact that you have the Cy Young Award winner, that you have the best pitcher in baseball, or that you have the guy who should have been the MVP, or the home run king. But I don't understand why, once the body of evidence is in, you wouldn't be happy about the things that are positive that has happened that happen in an otherwise disappointing year.
Because, Mike, at a certain point in time, and I've heard Jerry and Alan and a lot of the baseball people in this town, including yourself, maybe. I'm not sure you've ever said this. At a certain point, some of that greatness that we have or that we've had in the past has got to translate into something significant. And if it doesn't, at the end of the season, what gives me what gives me, you know, the emotion to say, hey, I'm looking forward to next year. It's really hardly ever translated into a meaningful September. What gives me the hope if it's failed so many times in terms of translating all this greatness that we've had, a Roy Halladay, a Bautista, a great pitching staff, you know, an Encarnacion. If all these things are not translating and have not translated and we've had the best, what makes me want to be excited about next year? On top of the fact that we've had injuries and we're not even sure where some of these guys are going to be next year. We're not even sure how much the team is going to be together next year, given that Alex Anthopoulos said he's going to make changes.
Well, don't you want him to make changes after a year where they went 73-89?
I'm not saying I don't. I'm just saying...
I mean, you can't have it both ways. You can't say, get me excited about a team that's 73-89, but don't make any changes to it. I think that, well, you use that as one of your reasons that you're not going to be excited. But I think that if you're asking what there is to get you excited about 2013, the Baltimore Orioles might be a good place to look. You know, this was a team that nobody expected to do anything, and here they are in the playoffs. The Oakland A's. People thought that they were throwing the next 5 years, and here they are, division champions. Those are reasons to get excited because, you know, at some point it's going to be the Blue Jays' turn. The Tampa Bay Rays, who have done it on pitching for making the playoffs 3 of the last 5 years based on nothing more than great pitching and defense, and the Blue Jays had that great pitching and defense in 06, 07, 08, and it didn't work out for them. Those are reasons, and reasons, more reasons are the talent that's here. The talent that I know you don't want to hear scored 500 runs in the first 100 games of the season, which led the major leagues. And one hopes that the vast majority of those guys will be back with another year under their belts, and you'll have Brett Laurie, who will be all of 23, and Colby Rasmus, who will only be 25 for most of next season, and J.P. Arencibia in his third year as a massive power plant behind the plate. This is a very talented team, and it was a very talented team going into this year, and it's the same very talented team that got everybody so excited after their tremendous spring training. And that talent hasn't gone away, and the only thing you can look at and say is, well, Ricky Romero had a terrible year, and so we don't know if Ricky Romero, what we can expect from Ricky Romero. Starting pitching has to be dealt with. I think there are a lot of reasons to be excited about this team, and I understand and I appreciate the call, though, again, don't appreciate the anger. I didn't get hurt. I didn't. It wasn't my fault that 54 different guys had to suit up for the Blue Jays this year. There are a lot of reasons to be excited, and the offseason's the first one, because if Alex Anthopoulos manages to do what he wants to do, this is going to be a very exciting offseason for Blue Jays fans. Michael is in Whitby. Welcome to the final Blue Jays talk of 2012.
Mike, how are you?
I'm all right, thank you.
I missed you. I haven't called in a while.
Well, it's a good thing you called tonight.
Yeah, I agree. Actually, I was trying to remember when the first time I called this season was, and I'm pretty sure it's back in Morrow's second or third start when your question was, which Morrow do you like better? Do you remember?
I do remember the which Morrow do you like better, the strikeout guy or the guy who gets his ground balls.
And you got a little bit of both tonight, one that went deep into the innings and still got 11 Ks. That's
pretty
good.
Yeah, and that's the Morrow that we got a few times after that night.
Yep.
And that's the ideal guy.
Yeah, I was loving it tonight. But anyways, I just wanted to test your theory on if Omar could be a batting coach, maybe.
Why?
What do you mean, why?
He was not a very good hitter.
Oh, high percentage.
Percentage of what?
Batting average. What was he seriously not? Like, this is news to me then.
Omar Vizquel was, over the course of his major league career, was not a good hitter. A career OPS under 700 is pretty poor.
No, but I mean, that's... that's slugging. Do batting coaches only cover, like, hard hits? Like,
oh, they cover,
what about just getting on base?
Hitting. He wasn't that good at getting on base either. His career on base was .336.
Really?
Just slightly above the major league average.
Ooh.
Yeah.
All right, never mind that.
No, Omar Vizquel's going into the Hall of Fame because of his glove, not because of his bat.
No, I knew that, but, I mean, still, 40th all-time on the hit list, I believe.
Well, but he had 12,000 plate appearances, too. Yeah. Don't forget that.
Man, still, I don't know.
Yeah,
he,
no.
He could. I still want him to be involved in Blue Jays baseball somehow.
Don't count on it.
Oh.
No.
All right, I suppose that's true.
I expect Omar Vizquel will be on the coaching staff of the Cleveland Indians next season.
Yeah?
I don't know if he's going to be the manager or if Sandy Alomar or Terry Francona is going to be the manager, but... I do expect Omar to be on a major league coaching staff next season, and I don't expect it to be in Toronto.
You think he could jump straight to manager, though?
He thinks he can.
That's cool. All right. Well,
yeah. And if he is on the Cleveland staff, as Tom Young just points out, he'll be here on opening day with the Tribe. That's very cool. Thank you, Tom Young. Tom Young contributing to the very last here on the Blue Jays Talk. Thanks for the call, Michael. Let's go to Wayne in Clinton, listening on the internet. Welcome to the Blue Jays Talk.
Good to talk with you, Mike. And I want to thank you for your reasoning and all of your wisdom and putting up with some of the callers that you have calling in. I think you do a great job. Looking forward to hearing you again next year.
Thank you very much.
Who was angry there a few minutes ago.
He's always angry.
Yeah, but he should really spend the off season looking at what Anthopoulos has put together so far in the minor league system. There is talent in the Blue Jays system that is just amazing. And if he would take a chance, you know, take a look at it, he'd realize it. Does he not realize that Anthopoulos was part of the architect group, if you want to call it that, that put together the Washington Nationals system?
Well, not
because
really.
Because it came from the Expos?
He wasn't there that long. I mean, he had something to do with it. Dana Brown had more to do with it. But, I mean, I think that's a bit of a stretch.
Well, the Expos had a very good farm system.
They did.
And he was part of that. And
yes.
And it continued on.
Not for long. Yes.
But on the pathways that they were set on when they were with the Expos. So it's only natural that the Nationals now would have a good system because the infrastructure was set up in the Expos organization. But anyway, we're talking about the Blue Jays, and I think they have a very good chance for next year, especially with Anthopoulos as manager. I'm sure he'll do some wizardry, and I'm looking forward to next season.
All right. Thank you, Wayne. Appreciate the call. As always, the Blue Jays do have a spectacular minor league system, but a lot of that talent is in low A ball and not. As John Farrell said before the game today, he believes that Justin Nicolino, Noah Syndergaard, and Aaron Sanchez are 3 years away. So you can't really count on them to improve the Blue Jays in the immediate future unless it's done by trading them. Alan is in Toronto. Alan, welcome to the final Blue Jays Talk of 2012.
Always a pleasure to be on here.
Thank you, sir.
You're great. You and Alan and Jerry are all fantastic.
Thank you.
I'd like to compare Ozzie Smith defensively with Omar Vizquel. Omar Vizquel is not as spectacular, but just as adequate. When the big play had to be made, he came through. If Ozzie Smith is in the Hall of Fame, his lifetime batting average is only .262, only hit 28 home runs. Vizquel's is .272, roughly .272, and he hit 80 home runs. And I'm giving him a very good chance of getting in the Hall of Fame. He just was not... He just was not as acrobatic defensively, but he's in my top three. I also put John McDonald in the top three, Ozzie Smith, Omar Vizquel, and John McDonald, basing my opinion on the way he played last year. It was just unbelievable what John did. It left me shaking my head with some of the plays that he did. There's very few that are good defensively as he is.
Yeah, John McDonald's the best defensive shortstop I've ever seen, but Ozzie Smith and Omar Vizquel did it every day for over 20 years, and Johnny Mack never had to do that, never had to put his body through that. So I don't think you can really talk about him in the same breath as those other two.
What I would have liked to have seen, I would have liked to have seen Darren Oliver be the closer in tonight's game, because I doubt very much if he's going to be back next year, because based on his age and based on judging by his comments, he wants to be with his family. So I think he's going to announce his retirement at the end of the year. It would have been nice to send him off as well. And it was a very classy move at the end when they removed Omar, and the appreciative crowd got up and gave him a standing ovation, and he tipped his cap. I thought it was a very class act what John did at the end.
Yeah, I thought so too, and especially considering the events of last week and the comments of Vizquel made and the players-only meeting that was called as a result of it. It was a very classy move by John Farrell for his former teammate. Thanks, Alan. Appreciate the call. Want to sneak in one more. Alex in Toronto, you're going to be the last caller of 2012 on the Blue Jays Talk.
Wow, I feel kind of privileged. I got to be honest with you.
Well, make it good. You got a minute.
Yeah, no problem. I just wanted to touch on Vizquel, and I wanted to take an opportunity to say what a class guy he is. I've had the chance of meeting him before, and for somebody who's as talented as he is, it was kind of a little bit disappointing not to see him play as often. You know, I'd go to the games, and I'd see him kind of sitting around, and I know what kind of baseball player he is and what kind of baseball mind he has. And I wanted to get your comments on whether you think John Farrell and the Jays used them as well as they could have, because in my opinion, I thought that he had a lot more to offer than the way we used him and the opportunities that we gave him here in Toronto.
I couldn't agree with you less, I don't think. Omar didn't earn any playing time this year. He was, he made a great play today, and I don't want to end this on a bad note, but Omar had a terrible year at the plate. 45 years old. He's a backup middle infielder. That was his role. He did it defensively very well, and he played, I think, exactly as much as he should have, if not a little too much. But it was great to see him out there today. The music means we're done. This is it. Thank you all so much. Thanks to Tom Young, Dan Riccio, Gore Brunt tonight. We'll be back with playoff action for you Friday night. Don't forget about us, and go vote for Tom Cheek.